The main text for my message is found in John 8:12. Give you a little insight to my message. We can go through that. John 8:12. And Jesus said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'd like to start with a prayer for the message, please. Father in heaven, I pray that this message be suitable, that you aid me in my delivery of your word and message, and that those who listen to it are provoked by this to thought and to consider my message. Please be with me while I deliver it and aid me in this. I pray this in your son's name. Amen. This morning's message from Brother Ralph spoke about the heavens and how they declare the majesty of God. One of these possible phenomena is a black hole. Black holes are well known in science fiction, and perhaps you've seen some of the movies on them. One of my favorites was Walt Disney's Maximilian Schell's The Black Hole. And it got me thinking back at a young age, and I started thinking about black holes again and how they just literally suck everything into them. And what I'm going to talk about tonight, black holes, the speed of light, our ability and desire to reach out to God, how we can fall short of that on our own power, and how we really require additional power, that which is found in Jesus Christ, who makes us presentable before God. It's a picture of what a black hole might look like. It's got a boundary. It's another one. And before I go into my main topic, we need to look at what black holes are, what the scientists say they are, which will help me with my comparison. I've chosen a Schwarzschild black hole, a three-dimensional sphere with a funnel. And its round area is the event horizon. And behind this horizon, there's an inward pull of gravity that's so overwhelming that nothing can escape. Now, a demonstration would be how you can stand out in your front yard or a baseball field or right out here, and you can throw a baseball up in the air and catch it. And what you're doing is you are forcing that baseball to escape gravity. With a black hole, that would not be possible. The gravity of that is so overwhelming that speculated that it sucks whole planets and stars in. No information about the black hole's interior can escape the outer universe, not even light can escape. And I provided this, and it gives us a kind of a look at it. At the horizon, we have a point of no return, you're pulled in, and you cannot fall. Black hole is a region of space that has so much mass concentrated in it that there is no way for a nearby object to escape its gravitational pull. A black hole has something called an event horizon. This is a spherical surface that marks the boundary of the black hole. In fact, if you cross the horizon, you're doomed to move inexorably closer and closer to the singularity at the center of the black hole. The horizon has some strange geometrical properties. To an observer who is sitting still somewhere far away from the black hole, the horizon seems to be a nice, static, unmoving spherical surface. Have you ever sat there and stopped, waiting to pull out? You can see a car coming. If you've got enough time, you pull out before you know this guy is in the rearview mirror. He's traveling a little faster than the speed limit. hard to judge. It looks like he's far away, all of a sudden he's right there. Once you get close to the horizon, you realize there's a very large velocity, much like this car that's bearing down on you. In fact, it's moving outward at the speed of light. That explains why it's easy to cross the horizon in the inward direction, but impossible to get back out. So you can go in easy enough, but you can't get back out. Now, since the horizon is moving out at the speed of light, in order to escape back across it, you would have to travel faster than the speed of light. And as far as I know, that's impossible. The speed of light is 186,282 miles per second, a little bit less than 300 kilometers per second for people who like the metric system. Now, Professor Albert A. Michelson figured that out in 1950, and since then, that's about the fastest thing we know about. So it's moving on you at the speed of light. To get out, you'd have to move faster. It's pretty impossible. You can't go faster than light, so you can't escape from the black hole. So you are in big trouble. Okay? Therefore, my question came, what would happen if I fell into a black hole? At first, you don't feel any gravitational forces at all, since you're in free fall. Every part of your body and your spaceship is being pulled in the same way. So you feel weightless. You'd start to feel a tidal gravitational force. And it says that, imagine that your feet are closer to the center of your body than your head. Okay. If you've ever been rolled in a tidal wave, you don't have to imagine very hard. Playing around with feet, and it says, what do you mean? So, gravitational pull gets stronger as you get closer to the center of the hole. Okay, that's when you start to experience problems. And your feet feel a stronger pull than your head does. Now pay attention to these points, okay, because those are going to come up later. Okay. As a result, you feel stretched. This is called tidal force. This has to do with the moon. Ralph was talking about what would happen if the moon wasn't there. We'd have some pretty big tidal force problems. Okay. And this is because it's exactly like the forces on Earth. These tidal forces get more and more intense as you get closer to the center, and they will eventually rip you apart, ending in your death. My source of information. It's pretty good speculation. I've got pictures of it. You would almost imagine that this was a fact when really the black holes could neither be proven or disproven. They've got the mathematics to back it up. So, I want to talk about the black hole. And it's a different black hole. Not the one in outer space. No. Talking about the one in inner space, yours and mine. And we cannot get out on our own power. It's all the black hole sin. One of the greatest things I found while I was researching this was how did it take its name, why black? And they call it the black hole. The main reason is that no light can escape. Remember, you have to move faster than the speed of light. Therefore, once it gets in, you can't get back out. So everything disappears from the visible universe. My comparison begins here. For Jesus called us the light of the world. When we're pulled down by sin, we are separated from God. We are not able to be the light that is needed to show the others the way out, the way that is only offered by Jesus. Jesus called himself the light of the world. John 8:12. He also called us the light of the world. Recently on our trip to the Dominican Republic, I really found a lot of sensation there. And it really made me think about the time before I was a Christian and even presently, about the daily troubles and temptations that we have and how it's just an ongoing thing. And you are as good as you are today. You can be great yesterday and have done everything you can to avoid sin and temptation. We continuously fail, and here comes another day and more temptation. Light of the world. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, you and I have been inside or known someone who has been or is still inside a black hole of sin. We cannot get out on our own power. And the comparison, as I said, is the trouble we have in this life. Now, for many, they enter an activity thinking that it will have no negative consequences. And here's that event horizon. It looks, sun appears to be unmoving. I'm just going to go over there and do this. I'm just going to go talk to them. I'm just going to do this one little thing. And before you know it, that car's in your rearview mirror with its lights honking on you, and it's sin. And sometimes you can't get back out very easily, if at all, on your own power. The temptation of a quick fix pulled deeper and deeper until it passed the event horizon, the point of no return. The situation can pull us in so quick we don't notice it. And suddenly the point of return is beyond reach by our own power. People who don't aspire to better themselves, better their families and children, make changes, bring about positive change, really don't even realize. To them, it's just a hassle. Life's just trouble, and that's what. And I use the word doom, because you can actually feel good. You know, I'm here, that thing's happening, and I feel tired, but I have to leave that, because there's really something wrong with us by God. His covenant promises that are clearly stated right here to anybody that cares to look at it so much more. I think that we do know deep inside that there is more to life, and that there is more being offered to us, that something is missing from our lives. And everybody reaches out to something other than God. And God's reaching out to us, and so many people that fail to reach back. Instead, they'll reach for a phase. And that's when you start to get in trouble. I mean, God wants us to have that nice... He wants us to have a nice life. But some people make their own title. They want that million-dollar house. They have to have a couple of, you know, $50,000 SUVs. You can afford it, right? You know, but I don't see too many of those people attending church. It seems to mess up our humbleness. We start to worship the money. We start to worship the house, the job. And what I want is balance. I think God just wants balance for that, for us. That's where tithing comes in. It's really for our own good. If the rich people would tithe, it would keep them from becoming so money hungry and putting that up as a false idol. Reaching out for something else, and it's not God. Alcohol, drugs, all of the above. Reaching out, trying to put something in that missing spot. Now, God is omnipresent. For the sake of my diagram, I put him up in the right top corner. Whether you want to change position to a camera or switch to 360, whenever we reach out to God on our own, our efforts are pulled down because of the sin in our lives and the separation that we've created. It kind of looks like a Schwarzschild black hole. No one is without sin, except for Jesus Christ. And he was blameless, and that made him worthy of being a sacrifice that puts us back in the presence of God. For if we were all pulled down by the unnatural gravity of worldly sin, it's all too natural and deemed normal for our world and society. This actually could become a whole other sermon. I think Junior actually preached something about this a couple weeks ago. And this is where my points come up that I asked you to pay attention to when I was comparing this to the black hole and the effects of crossing the point of no return, being pulled down to your ultimate death. And as a result of our black holes of sin in this world, we feel stretched. I don't know about you, but I do. I feel just quite stretched at times, as if I can't be pulled any harder. And it's nobody's fault. It's mine when I'm not living right. My life becomes more intense. I just get a big kink in my neck. I can't hardly breathe sometimes. Sometimes sin in this world feels like it's just going to rip me apart. That's why I choose to call it the black hole snake. Okay, an engineering school in college, they teach you new things, solve problems. You've got to have a given. You have a problem, and you have a solution and a conclusion. To realize what we need this for, the whole point of this is that we do have a problem. Okay? We've all rebelled against God, both actively and passively. We've all disobeyed Him. Our sins have separated us from Him in both opposites. Our attempts to pull out of the bondage of sin fail. All of our own attempts are pulled down, and we cannot reach across the gut. That's pretty bleak. Again, with my little chart, there's us and there's God, and we're reaching across to Him, and it's just pulled down. We can't get across on our own power. The penalty in Romans 3:23, penalty for sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. And here's where we start to see a glimmer of light. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ, our Jesus, our Lord. I came up with the black hole hit list and more. And it's all out there. And it actually can be, you know, twisted and pushed around a million ways. And it's just out there doing push-ups, waiting for us. I mean, we can resist it, and I pray that we do. And with our own attempts, you know, you can do pretty good. You could lock yourself in your room and not go out. You're still probably going to sin. But if you go out into the world and try to live a constructive life, you're going to be hit across the face by all these things and more. And I myself am guilty of several of these. And if you look at it, more likely some of us all are. James 2:10, so whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. And sin is sin. There are lesser, certainly, if you want to debate that, you can debate that. I mean, a lie is nowhere near the sin penalty of murder. But it all separates us from God. And some of us, some of the people that I've run into in my travels, you know, if they don't want to take the help, they're really looking for trouble. Because I'm looking for the help. I'm looking for something to fill that empty void. I'm looking for that extra power and forgiveness. It just seems that we're pulled down for an ever-growing need for more and more of the wrong thing. Why is it that all the wrong things come so easily? Everybody wants to coast through life. And you know what I've been told? The only way to coast is downhill. And it's a battle and it's a fight. If you're going to go up, it takes some effort. Especially when the world tells us it's okay. And the media has pushed the boundaries of morality and language to the limit and beyond. And that NFL fiasco with Janet Jackson, I was really surprised that the FCC actually kind of slapped their wrists a little bit, that they're monitoring some of these talk show hosts now. Things are getting pretty seedy for a while. There's some dark, dark media going on. And I'm sure it'll return. I don't mean to be negative. It's just all too easy. Dress, courtship, dancing, eating, drinking, and tolerances towards sin have shifted to a new low. This has created problems in our lives, the lives of our family, friends, and children. It goes on generation after generation. We as Christians have decided to make that change, to ask for that additional power, to say enough, to break that cycle. We come here, we bring our children here, we try and teach them some good things. We can break that cycle, and we can say enough. It takes a lot of effort. You have to go back, and you have to think about what was my black hole, and what is your black hole. Some of us have been through the black holes and come out, not on our own power, but with the help of Jesus. Many are still looking for the way out of that darkness. Lesson of light comes to us from Matthew 5:14. And Jesus says that you are the light of the world. And he has to ask. I always ask questions. Well, what does light do? And it makes things clearer and easier to see things for what they are. A lot of nightclubs dim the lights. They don't want you to see what's going on. People feel safer doing wrong in the dark. A lot of crimes happen at night. Here's my diagram again. This is the hope we have, the way out of the black hole of sin. Hope, by the way, is a word used in our religion quite frequently when we talk about faith, hope, and love. And hope is a word that I do not find being spread around in other religions. There's us and God again. What we need, it would really be nice to be a bridge across that. Well, we got to keep going. In 1 Peter 3:18, we start to see the foundations of these bridges, the cornerstone laid. It says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." That's another tragic saying. He was put to death in body, but made alive by the Spirit. He's not rotting in his grave. And there are no other religions that can claim that, that their prophet, their Messiah. You can go visit the tombs. You can't find Christ. Put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. I'm looking for a bridge. Christ provided that bridge. "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." He gave us the right. We don't have that on our own. It's not by our own power that we can build that bridge, across that bridge, but that he gave it to us. A great sacrifice for himself. Light. The term light in the Bible is used to describe the way we need to make visible the truth. That we are clearly and attractively to present God's truth to others, illuminating it in order to show what it really is. John 1 through 8. "Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you. Because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Let's stop for a minute there. I said earlier that we cannot get there on our own power. We do not preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ our Lord. People want to attack the Christian church and say, "Why should I go to church? The biggest hypocrites in the church. They do this, they say that, they go out of church and act worse than I do." You know, and that's true to some extent. I myself am not the best person to be representing the church. But the church isn't built on me. I might be a hypocrite. The church is built on Jesus Christ. And he is not a hypocrite. So when people attack the church because of hypocrisy based on people around them that they see in church, and they want to use that as an excuse to avoid the church, you have to remember the church is not built on us, me, or anybody but Jesus Christ himself. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Conclusion. Jesus is saying that he wants his followers to be able to spiritually illuminate others, not only by living out his teachings, but also by explaining his message of forgiveness and grace with precision and accuracy. That's what it is to be the light and to have the spiritual power to get out and across the black hole of sin. The message of the black hole was something that I thought of. I used parts of sources of information from a book by Bill Hybels, Becoming a Contagious Christian, and my internet source, Ted Bunn. Thank you.
When you were baptized, you were buried with Christ, and you were raised up with him through your faith in God's power that was shown when you raised Christ from the dead. You want to be raised up out of the black hole through Christ. When you were spiritually dead because of your sin, and as he said, death, that's the bottom of that, and because you were not free from the power of your sinful self, you didn't think we can do this out of here. God made you alive with Christ and forgave all your sins. He can cancel the debt, the power, which lifted all the rules he failed to follow. He took away that record with its rules and nailed it to the cross. Perfect what we set up here. God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority. The black hole just fell apart. The cross. He won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Yes. Right. Awesome. Great observation. We've got to close this down with TV this morning. From the youth ministry, we want to impress upon you that we can use any help that you can give us to make goods, clean out your closet, ready to get rid of the helpless for this week, Thursday, and Friday is our big sale. Even if you can't make it down here to take a look at all the neat items, you can contribute in any way. If there's anybody that has time and likes to volunteer, I'll be down here after services on Wednesday, Thursday evening as well, and then Friday and Saturday about 4. And we'll see times, but early in the morning on Friday and Saturday when we set up before the survey gets here, and then closing it down in the evening. So if you'd like to be involved, if you'd like to bring something down that you want to bake, a bake good item, you can put a list out here on the entryway, bulletin board, you can write your name down and let them know. I'm also in need of two, I don't know how to describe these stuff, they're like picnic tent covers, you use them when you go camping, they're really easy to pop up. Something a lot easier than the big tent that we put up. We found that the big tent, we couldn't secure anything anymore. We had a lot of stuff damaged and just stolen last year, so we're not putting that up. But I like to have some simple things that we can put like the food under so it's shaded and you can catch here. So we have to put those up for the parking lot. If anybody has any of that, just let me know if you need to use it. There's some clay, I'd appreciate that. Those are really pull up tent, no size, that thing. We're going to Texas Development Street at Cannon Falls, September 9th to 11th. I need to get your forms and money named as soon as possible. Who's stuck in here? Okay. Good.
Chris is in crisis at the pastor lab, but if you can get in as soon as you can, we got to get numbers to the Christians.